Our scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 19. As I said to the kids, we're reading or we're considering all the different people that Jesus saw from the cross. And on this day, we're reflecting on the fact that Jesus could see himself and that he knew who he was and what he was all about. So we're going to read from John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. It's a short passage. Okay, let's listen. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord. I'd like to begin by having us ask and think about some important questions about the Bible. What is the Bible all about? What's its point? What's the overarching theme of this book? What does it say about the world? What perspective does it give on the perplexing observations that we make when we see the world as being on one hand a place of tremendous glory and beauty, and on the other hand being a place where there is tremendous hurt and in which atrocities take place? What does the Bible say about the solution to the brokenness that we see around us and the brokenness that we feel within us? What does it all mean? And what does it mean for us? Now, these questions, these really important and foundational kinds of questions for the Christian faith, are ones that have been asked before and answered before. Actually, libraries are filled with books that speak about just those issues. There are all kinds of nuances and different dimensions and takes on those foundational questions. There are insights that show that no matter how deep you go, that there is another layer of depth down below. However, with all that being said, you say, well, how can we know anything? If there's so much to know that we can never know at all, how do we have any confidence? Well, the thing is that all the right answers to all of those wonderful and deep questions have one word in common. Or more accurately, all the good questions have one name in common. And that name is Jesus. Jesus is the center. Jesus is the focus. Jesus is the reason. The Bible teaches us so many things. It teaches us that the creation was made beautiful and perfect by God himself and was defiled by sin. And hence, the beauty on one hand, because that's God had made it beautiful, and the defilement on the other hand, which is sin's impact on this beautiful creation. We understand that restoration happens by the ministry and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That there is a, even as we see the problem, we already know the solution. The solution is in Jesus. And while it looked like peace and victory in all of its dimensions was being snatched away, and surely when Jesus was on the cross, everybody thought, this is the end. This is the death of hope. It was restored by Jesus. And we are going to celebrate that in particular next Sunday on the day of resurrection. We can say with the poet that though the wrong seem great and strong, the right man is on our side, and his name is Jesus. Even though sin and rebellion make peace with God for us impossible, by ourselves on our own, Jesus does what is impossible for us and restores us to God, bringing peace, reconciling those who were divided by an insurmountable wall. Well, Jesus alone knew the way to break down that wall and to restore us to God. And in time, Jesus will restore the entire creation to God. When he returns, all things will be made new. Everything that we say is, you know, makes it perplexing, you know, the beauty and the ugliness. Well, when Jesus comes back, all that ugly stuff will be removed so that the good and the beautiful and the pure and the holy will remain, and it will be paradise for us. Well, with Jesus being then the focus of the Bible, it's not surprising that the Word of God being written down is talked about in the same way as Jesus himself. We read together from John chapter 19. If you look at the beginning of the Gospel of John, we know that John chapter 1 begins with these words. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humanity. And it's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus Christ. On the first Palm Sunday, the day which we are celebrating today, it looked for a while like people were understanding what was going on. And Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, the holy city. And people said, wow, this is the Messiah, this is the Christ, this is the one we've been waiting for. And that was the cause for the celebration, for the coats that were laid down and the palm branches that were waved and cast before him. It was because people said, here it is. Here is the hope. Here is the promise. Here is the fulfillment. And it was a celebration. And we capture that image and we recreate that image. And thank you to the kids and the others who helped us to see that again. And it's a totally appropriate way to respond to being in the presence of the Christ. The problem is, and I almost hate saying this because you sound like such a downer, but the people at that first Palm Sunday didn't actually get it. They didn't know their Bibles well enough. They did not know Jesus well enough. They didn't understand that thread that ran through the Bible. When they saw Jesus, they saw something that was nationalistic. They saw something that was cultural, something that was going to help them to throw off the shackles of Rome and let them stand on their own feet as a nation. And it was a nation-building thing, they thought. They didn't understand the spiritual dimensions of what Jesus was doing. They didn't understand the spiritual connotations to his coming and to what was yet to be. And so when Jesus became not the kind of Messiah that they were expecting, someone not at all like General Patton or some superhero, when Jesus showed himself to be vulnerable, when Jesus allowed himself to be taken, he allowed himself to be crucified. He allowed himself to be put on the path to death. They turned. And the people who said Hosanna on Palm Sunday were the same people who said crucify him a day or two later. And now, in our text, we see Jesus on the cross, having endured so much. And he looks to his right and he sees his flesh pierced, and to the left. And he looks down and he sees the blood from the crown of thorns that have damaged his head, dripping down onto his chest. He feels the spasms of terrible pain. And he knows the price that he is paying. He knows who he is. He understands the story, the narrative that he is part of. He knows how it will climax. And he knows the resolution of the story. He knows that the cross is not the final point of this. He knows that there is a grave. He knows that there is a resurrection. He knows that there is the coming of the Spirit. He knows that there is the rising of the church. He knows that there is the mission of the church going into the world, and he knows that all nations will hear, and people from all nations will turn to him. These are things that we know to be true. The question for us today is, do we accept this story? Do we believe this word? Do we give ourselves over to it? Do we let it shape us? Does it convict us? Does this story, does this word, does this person on the cross give us definition for our hopes and dreams and aspirations? As Jesus saw himself and knew himself to be the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world, so we need to see him as that Lamb. As Jesus interpreted himself, so we need to understand him. Let's not make the mistake of the first Palm Sunday crowd. So quick to turn on Jesus, rejecting the one who was poorly understood. Let's not make the mistake of those who saw him on the cross and thought him to be a loser, who thought him to be a weakling or a spent force. Let us receive Jesus as the Holy Spirit convicted followers, and let us be sent into the world to live this gospel, to follow it, to take down the strongholds and crash down the devil's gates, because Jesus is on the cross, because he loved us so much that he would endure even that. Let us follow him. Can you read the word? Can you read the word that is on the cross? I pray that together we will discern the truth, follow him, and be blessed. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, so much of what you show us is topsy-turvy, different than the way that we as human beings would write the script. We wouldn't have thought that you would come incarnate in your Son, and that you would allow a form of weakness to show the most divine strength. We wouldn't have thought that our brokenness would be paid by somebody dying a shameful death. But we thank you that you write the story. We thank you that you make your story in Jesus known to us. We thank you for the Spirit that convicts us and propels us to be your people in the world. Make us strong for your glory. Make us faithful witnesses to Jesus' sacrifice. And may the world know that there is a Savior.